Good morning and welcome to the Court of Appeals. Our first case this morning is A23-0260. I hope I pronounced this correctly. Edgard Mariano versus Razor LLC. As all parties are aware, the appellant will have 15 minutes for their arguments in chief. Respondent will have 15 minutes, and appellant will have 5 minutes for rebuttal. Counsel for the appellant, whenever you're ready, just approach the microphone. You can adjust the podium up and down to your height, and just please begin by telling us who you are in a loud, clear voice. Thank you.
May it please the court, Bradley Kircher on behalf of the appellant, Edgard Mariano, who was the plaintiff below. The district court dismissed Mr. Mariano's complaint with prejudice on two bases, failure to state a claim upon which relief can be granted in response to a motion under Rule 12.02E, and lack of subject matter jurisdiction after a motion to dismiss under Rule 12.02A. As the court is most likely aware, the standard for a review on a motion to dismiss is the de novo standard.
It's very favorable to you.
And the focus is on whether this complaint is legally sufficient under
Rule 8.1. I would ask the marshal to start the clock, please. Thank you. Please continue, Mr. Kirshner.
The district court's order addresses first the failure to state a claim upon which relief can be granted, and then lack of subject matter jurisdiction. So that's how I addressed it in my brief, but I think subject matter jurisdiction is really a threshold issue. If the district court did not have subject matter jurisdiction, all it could do was find a lack of jurisdiction and dismiss without prejudice. It could not make a decision on the merits and dismiss with prejudice. So I will address in the opposite order, starting with the court having subject matter jurisdiction. The basis for a finding of lack of subject matter jurisdiction was twofold. One was that Mr. Mariano did not have standing. Standing is a fairly basic requirement, and it merely requires that the plaintiff suffered an injury in fact. So that's the focus of whether or not they're standing. Did this plaintiff suffer some injury in fact? Mr. Mariano did, in fact, suffer an injury in fact. He had a contractual relationship with the respondent, which I'll refer to as Uber. That's actually Rossier LLC, but it does business. It's licensed by Uber and does business as Uber. And I think everyone knows the name Uber more than Rossier. So Mr. Mariano had a contractual relationship with Uber. He was an Uber driver and used Uber's platform, its computer application, to do his driving.
Let me ask a question. Your claim is that there was an arbitration clause that controlled, correct?
That is correct, Your Honor.
Well, if there's an arbitration clause, then does the court have jurisdiction?
Yes, it does. How
is that? If there's an arbitration clause that controls, how does the court have jurisdiction over other matters other than the arbitration?
The response is twofold, Your Honor. One is that there is a case cited in my brief, I don't recall it off the top of my head, that says that the court maintains subject matter jurisdiction even when there is an arbitration agreement. The contractual arbitration agreement does not divest the court of subject matter jurisdiction. But particular to this case, looking at the allegations of the complaint, because we're looking at a motion to dismiss, the allegations of the complaint were that there was a contract, it had an enforceable arbitration agreement, Mr. Mariano complied with the arbitration agreement and commenced arbitration in the correct forum required by the contract, and Uber refused to cooperate. It simply refused.
Then?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Arbitration, isn't that your remedy?
No, Your Honor. That results in a waiver by Uber of the enforceability of the contractual arbitration agreement.
Go ahead, Judge Siegel. So you're telling me, first of all, the one thing I was a little unsure about is finding something in the record that indicated your client did not opt out of arbitration. Now, how would we know he didn't opt out?
It's a very good question, Your Honor.
Well, first of all, is it your position, I think, he didn't opt out, right?
He did not opt out, Your Honor.
And where would I look for that?
The allegations of the complaint. And again, because of the procedural posture, we're looking at a motion to dismiss. I did cite a non-precedential case in which this court said motions to dismiss under Rule 12 are disfavored. And I think it's pretty clear in the Minnesota Supreme Court's opinion in Walsh v. U.S. Bank that there's a good reason why it's disfavored. It's because the Minnesota Supreme Court has said, well, a motion to dismiss, the court's only real job is an exercise in hypothetical logic. Is there some evidence that could be discovered during the case and presented in response to a summary judgment motion or at trial that would support the claim that has been pleaded? And that's the problem. As we stand here, there is no record. The only thing we can look at are the allegations. And the allegations of the complaint are that Mr. Mariano had a contract with Uber. That contract had an arbitration provision. Mr. Mariano complied with that arbitration provision, and Uber refused to participate.
So
just simply refused.
So are you seeking arbitration then? Or are you seeking to enforce the arbitration provision so that your client's claims will be heard in arbitration?
No, Your Honor. Once a party has refused to cooperate, that's a waiver. Based on common laws.
Are there cases that say that in essence is that they're waiving that clause of the agreement, the FPA, FAA, whatever it's
yes,
called?
Yes, Chief Judge. And I don't have it on the tip of my tongue. It's in the brief,
okay.
in that same line of cases that say that it does not divest subject matter jurisdiction. It also says that it can be waived.
Okay.
The requirement. And
so does that sort of, Mr. Kirshner, get to your one of your counts? Well, actually, strike that. I will just say, and I recognize we were in a notice pleading state, but you know, I think one of the problems the district court may have had with the complaint is, you know, there weren't specific counts, enumerated counts for each cause of action. You know, count one, breach of contract; count two, breach of the Minnesota Uniform Deceptive Trade Practices Act; count three, you know, breach of the implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing. But aside from that, so is following up on Judge Siegel's excellent question, so you're saying they refused to arbitrate, they were bound to arbitrate, your client did not opt out, so are you saying the way you get around the arbitration clause now is because their failure to arbitrate is a breach of the implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing? Is that kind of what you're saying?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, fair enough. Well, you tell me then. I share the same concerns with the chief. I think your remedy, if they're breaching the contract by failing to arbitrate, is to now order them to arbitrate. I'm not so sure you get monetary damages. So you explain to me why I'm wrong.
Certainly, Your Honor. So starting with the principle that an arbitration agreement, a mandatory requirement to arbitrate, can be waived by conduct of the parties, that is not
really, that's when, well, yes and no. I mean, one way is when they sue you in court. You know, there's an argument that they're impliedly waiving the right to arbitrate because they've now chosen litigation. I assume that's not what you're saying occurred in this case.
No, Your Honor.
Okay.
Mariano attempted to comply with his contractual requirement. Uber refused to participate, just flat out refused. And again, we do not have a record that's been developed. I did not attach to the pleading the email messages from the representative from Uber to the representative from the arbitration forum saying, we're not going to play ball.
And
you
don't have to, fair enough.
Right, there's no requirement.
Yeah, I got it.
And so at this point, all the court can look at is what's the allegation? Well, the allegation is there was a contractual requirement. Mariano complied. Uber did not. That is a breach of contract. It's not a breach of the implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing. That is a breach of an express term of the contract.
I agree.
And again, I agree that it may be easier if the complaint says count one is this, count two is this, count three is this, but it's not required by the pleading requirements in the state of Minnesota.
I agree again. Go ahead, Judge Smith.
I'm following the arbitration argument. Now let's get to the contract. So if we get by that, then we're bound by the terms of the contract, true?
Yes, Your Honor.
In the contract, if I recall correctly, it says something about no class actions, you can't represent other people. Is that accurate?
My recollection is that it's all somewhat bound together, that the exclusive remedy is arbitration, and therefore there's no class action altogether. But the counter argument, and again, there is no class action pled in this complaint.
You seek some injunctive relief that applies to other people, though.
Well, and again, so the injunctive relief is not class action injunctive relief. It's statutory under
it. Representing other people or other interests other
certainly
than your own.
And that's a request. I mean, the rules allow a plaintiff to make requests for relief in the alternative, in the hypothetical.
You can't do it, aren't you bound by the contract?
Well, I think that's something for a later day. I don't think that's something that can be addressed in a Rule 12 motion. It certainly does not go to whether or not the court has subject matter jurisdiction. Subject matter jurisdiction is jurisdiction over the entire subject matter of the case. It does not look at specific remedies requested. So the court could say, well, we are never going to give this plaintiff the injunctive relief that applies to other people. That doesn't divest the court of subject matter jurisdiction. That's just later on there could be a motion for partial summary judgment, or the court could just say that's not a remedy that's available to you.
So on your breach,
go ahead.
Finish. Okay. So on your breach of contract claim, it seems like the district court judge said, I don't see any provisions in the contract that these allegations of breach go to. So what were those? And I get your argument, I think, you know, that your client aggressively did something. That's no place in your complaint. But it doesn't seem like the judge was really relying on that in the judge's ruling, so it seems like that's maybe error but harmless error. But back to what are the provisions in the contract that
certainly
you're pointing to?
Your Honor, the standard is to accept as true the allegations of the complaint and make all reasonable inferences in favor of the non-moving party, which
but
is the plaintiff.
It seemed like respondent submitted the contract.
Certainly.
And the judge accepted that. So whether it's actually kind of a summary judgment because he was looking at something outside the complaint or not, I don't know. That question is not in front of us. But the judge did have the platform access agreement and did look at that and say, wait a minute, I don't see these provisions. So are there provisions in the platform access agreement that were breached of the allegations of breach you've got in your complaint?
Yes, Your Honor. So looking at the allegations, the complaint alleges that there was a contract. The contract had an arbitration clause. Mariano
aside
complied
from the arbitration clause.
Certainly. And then the second,
that's just like what forum you're in. That's not, yeah.
No, Your Honor, I think that is a breach of a term of the contract that can lead to damages, because with arbitration being a private forum, it costs money.
You don't have much time left. Why don't you go on and
certainly. Paragraphs 6 and 11 of the complaint allege that Mariano disputed Uber's allegations that he violated Uber's rules of conduct, which are incorporated into that contract. Paragraph 15 alleges contractual requirement that the parties attempt to informally resolve any disputes before commencing the arbitration. And that is in that contract that the district court considered. Paragraphs 14, 17, 19, and 20 describe Uber's failure to work with Mariano to informally resolve the dispute over whether Mariano violated any of Uber's rules of conduct. It's a reasonable inference from the allegations of those paragraphs that Uber breached the party's contract by refusing to comply with the contract's clause requiring an attempt to informally resolve disputes. So I think there's two very easy ones on the express term, refusal to comply with arbitration or refusal to work with to comply with this contractually required duty to attempt to informally resolve any disputes. The complaint sufficiently...
So what's the relief? I mean, set aside the arbitration clause, but on this, the failure of Uber to try to informally resolve the issues, what relief would you be entitled to, except that, you know, Uber needs to sit down and try to resolve? I mean, this has been going on now for a while, and nothing's been resolved yet, so...
It's a breach of contract that resulted in the plaintiff losing his ability to earn his living.
No, just the opportunity to sit down and talk about it doesn't lead to the result that anything would be different, right? I mean, or why am I wrong?
Well, again, at this stage, if the court is looking at, is there potentially evidence that would support a claim for Mariano, once going through discovery, there could be email messages that say, we know that he didn't breach the rules of conduct and he should not be terminated. We just don't know because it's so early, but there is certainly the possibility that evidence is produced through discovery in the case, if the case is allowed to go forward, that supports a claim that, in fact, he was wrongfully terminated.
But how do you get around the provision in the agreement that says it's at Uber's discretion? I mean, it's an at-will agreement.
And again, Your Honor, this goes to the implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing. Anytime where a contract is so one-sided that it gives one party sole discretion over a decision, that's when the implied covenant comes into play, that party holding that power of sole discretion must exercise good faith and fair dealing when exercising that discretion.
Thank you. Mr. Kirshner, you will have 5 minutes of rebuttal. Your time is up. I will ask you on rebuttal if in the time during respondents' counsels, you indicated to the court that the complaint indicates, or there is an allegation in the complaint, that your client did not opt out of arbitration. I will just say, in briefly looking at it again, I couldn't find that allegation. So perhaps you could use the 15 minutes that Respondents' Counsel has to just maybe find the allegation that says your client did not opt out.
Your Honor, I can answer that in 30 seconds.
Okay. Is it
paragraph? There is no specific allegation that he did not opt out. Okay. It's a reasonable inference from the fact that he enforced agreement and the allegation that, in fact, there was an enforceable arbitration agreement.
Well, that would have been my next question if you couldn't find the allegation. So we'll see you on rebuttal. We'll now hear for counsel for the respondent, please.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court and opposing counsel. My name is Lehan Pham. I'm here on behalf of Respondent Uber Technologies, and I will continue to refer to Respondent as Uber. I'd like to start off by framing for the court how Uber sees this dispute and how Uber reads the order entered by Judge Maroney. Uber sees this as a motion to dismiss for failure to state a claim. That is the first issue before the court. And Uber sees it that way because the district court never actually ruled that it lacked subject matter jurisdiction over the claims themselves. The district court's ruling focused on whether or not the district court had subject matter jurisdiction over the relief that was sought by Mr. Mariano. And as the court has already noted, the relief that Mr. Mariano sought was alternative permanent injunctive reliefs. So that's why, Your Honors, I'd like to start off by discussing why this court should affirm dismissal for failure to state a claim on all of Mr. Mariano's claims.
Why did your client breach the arbitration provision? I mean, we've got a breach here. It seems, you know, under the standards of Rule 12. So how does that come about? And why, I don't get your argument on that.
The argument as to why there's no breach of the arbitration agreement, Your Honor?
Well, yeah, your own client's agreement to arbitrate, refused to arbitrate. Well, there's nothing that says, oh, if we have a dispute with JAMS, that then we don't have to arbitrate. I mean, your client's in breach of that provision.
Well, Your Honors, without...
Under the allegations in the complaint, obviously, we're dealing with complaint allegations. I will amend my statement.
Thank you, Chief Judge. Under the Rule 12 standard, where you're accepting all the complaint allegations as true, there is, I guess I could see a hypothetical where Mr. Mariano could say, hey, you didn't arbitrate with me. But I think the remedy for Mr. Mariano, if there is a refusal to arbitrate, is to bring a motion to compel arbitration. That was his remedy.
But he said by your response to the complaint that you guys waived it. I mean, you refused to arbitrate. You said, we're not doing JAMS anymore because we're in a dispute with JAMS. So then what remedy does he have? I mean, then why is that not a waiver? Why is that argument not correct?
Well, Your Honor, Chief Judge, I think that if Mr. Mariano took that position, which he clearly has, his remedy would be to bring a motion to compel arbitration because the platform access agreement is governed by the FAA, and the FAA provides a clear remedy to a party.
But can't you, I mean, your client waived it, said, hey, let's go to court. You want to go to court? Let's go to court. We've got an answer. We're bringing a motion in lieu of an answer. I mean, it makes common sense to me.
Chief Judge, I mean, I understand where you're coming from, Chief Judge, but from Uber's perspective, Uber was sued. Uber was not the one who sought affirmative relief from the court. Mr. Mariano brought this cause of action.
Because your client refused to engage in arbitration. So then he chose an alternative. And I don't, you know, I mean, motions to compel arbitration are when I'd rather be in arbitration than in court. But otherwise, he's saying, wait a minute, okay, you guys don't want to go that route because this is all governed by JAMS. I mean, that's the arbitration provision is through JAMS, and your client, according to the complaint, again, just the complaint allegations, was we're not dealing with JAMS now. So they're basically, you've written the arbitration provision out of the platform agreement. Why is that wrong? Besides saying, we got sued.
Well, I think it goes back to how if Mr. Mariano, it appeared to Uber that what Mr. Mariano is trying to get at is that he wanted to arbitrate his claims with Uber. That's how we've read the complaint. And he's alleging under the complaint that we refused to arbitrate with him. So the only remedy, as Uber sees it, is to bring a motion to compel arbitration. But
did you do that?
Did we do what, Your Honor?
Bring a motion to compel arbitration? Because that you're saying that's the only proper route, that this court lacks subject matter jurisdiction.
That would be, Mr. Mariano would bring the motion to compel arbitration.
Well, it seems like you're... Why don't you move on with your argument? It just seems to me like you're trying to have your cake and eat it, too.
Understood, Your Honor. So I'll briefly move on as to why the district court correctly dismissed the breach of contract claim, the deceptive trade practices claim, and the... breach of implied covenant claim with prejudice. So as the court has already noted, Chief Judge, there are four specific breaches of the platform access agreement that Mr. Mariano has alleged. He specifically uses the term breach. There are at complaint paragraph 17 through 20, and if the court and the platform access agreement is part of respondent's addendum, and there is no term in the platform access agreement that Uber has breached. And Mr. Mariano to date has not cited to a specific term in the platform access agreement that Uber has breached. In fact, where the platform access agreement does reference instances such as investigating rider complaints, the platform access agreement says that Uber does not need to verify the accuracy of the rating.
So I think that's a fair point. So I just want to make sure I understand your position. You're saying Mr. Mariano did not opt out of the arbitration agreement. Would that be a fair statement? So that arbitration governs?
Because he did not opt out, he would be pursuing arbitration, correct?
Okay, Fair enough. Please continue, counsel.
Before you go, let's assume there's a waiver because Uber didn't go through arbitration, okay? With that assumption, is there a duty to deal in good faith in investigating complaints? In other words, it seems pretty blunt thing to just fire somebody or terminate the contract without investigating these allegations. So is there some duty of good faith dealing?
I would say under Minnesota law, every contract has an implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing, except for there are some limited circumstances that are not applicable.
And is what Uber did fair when they really didn't give him a chance to respond to the complaints?
Judge Smith, the complaint itself, I believe it's complaint paragraph 6 off the top of my head, it actually references how Mr. Mariano had an opportunity to respond to the allegations, and he disputed the veracity of the allegations. I believe that's complaint paragraph 6. And Your Honors, I mean, in the complaint itself, it references how these complaints came in, Uber then sent messages to Mr. Mariano acknowledging receipt, and how and summarize for Mr. Mariano the nature of the complaint by the customer. Some of them expressed safety concerns, some of them expressed discomfort. That's all in the complaint. And so Mr. Mariano, as Uber reads the complaint, agrees that Uber did some form of diligence in response to these customer complaints.
But isn't that an issue of fact that's to be determined? I mean, if you accept the allegations of the complaint, he's saying that that isn't good faith. How can it be dismissed outright without some discovery?
I think it goes to how Mr. Mariano is attempting to use the implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing. I think it's not that the covenant good, as we've read the complaint as written, it's not like Mr. Mariano is trying to use the implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing to require that Uber act in good faith. What he's trying to do is to rewrite the terms of the contract and contractually force Uber to investigate rider complaints, even though the platform access agreement does not put that onus on Uber. And in fact, the platform access agreement says that Uber does not need to verify the accuracy of the allegations.
Well, is there some kind of modification, perhaps, of that provision in the platform agreement from the course of dealing? Because the messages up to that are, you know, according again, the allegations and the complaint, which is all we've got, are, oh, we get, okay, everything's fine, you're great, no problem. So it seems like there's a course of dealing there that Uber is going to look into some of these complaints, is going to listen to the driver's side. I mean, you've got somebody who was working there for long, did over 30,000 rides. So can that modify the contract, this court? Because there are the allegations of kind of this, what, you know, Uber's response in the past that are in the complaint.
Uber wouldn't agree that there's been a modification by course of dealing or parties' conduct. I think the platform access agreement speaks for itself as to what Uber would do. The community guidelines do reference that Uber may investigate complaints. That's different from the contractual obligation to investigate. But the only way we get to Mr. Mariano's result, which is requiring Uber to investigate rider complaints as an example, would be to rewrite the platform access agreement. And Uber would not agree that there's been a modification based on course of conduct. I don't think the acknowledgement of receipt of complaints and then, you know, communicating with Mr. Mariano, I don't think that is sufficient, even at the pleading stage, to show some sort of modification by parties' conduct.
Let me ask this hypothetical. Assume you have a rider who doesn't like the ethnicity of the driver, so they make a complaint, and they make some crazy complaints, and Uber says, okay, you're done. Is that fair dealing? If they don't do anything?
Well, under the deactivation clause of the contract, Uber has the discretion to determine whether or not...
Is that unfettered discretion? I mean, is there never a situation where that's unfair?
The contract describes it as sole discretion, but I think in your hypothetical, Judge Smith, it would be if the complaint was made by the customer and the customer makes it to Uber, then Uber would have the discretion under the platform access agreement to decide whether or not that constitutes what's called a material breach. Because under the contract, Uber can only deactivate access upon determining there is what's called a material breach. And the material breach occurs where the driver does something that is harmful to the Uber brand or does something unsafe or illegal.
That's based on one person's complaint, potentially, that could be completely unfounded.
So, and I just want to make sure I understand the hypothetical judgment. This would be the customer complaining about the driver's ethnicity?
Right, and just because they didn't like his look.
Under this hypothetical, Uber would not deactivate because the customer complaining about the driver's ethnicity does not qualify as a material breach of the platform access agreement.
How do we know that, though? How do we know the basis of the customer's complaint?
Don't you have to investigate that?
We would look at the customer's complaint. So I'm assuming in this hypothetical, the customer would say, I dislike the driver's ethnicity or something to that effect.
I could say he was rude and he swore at me and he made sexual advances. Even if it's completely untrue, the driver is done.
Under this hypothetical, if that is the text of the customer rating, and Uber sees it, Uber would argue that because it is under no duty to verify the accuracy of the ratings under the platform access agreement, and Uber in its discretion determines that that behavior, that alleged behavior by the driver constitutes a material breach of the platform access agreement, Uber would have the sole discretion to deactivate his access to the account.
Even though it was completely untrue.
Uber can only go off of what the ratings say.
That's what I'm saying. So the complaint can be completely untrue, and Uber could then terminate the contract with the driver, even though they've been driving for 15 years.
Under this hypothetical and under the plain terms of the platform access agreement, yes. And it's because the platform access agreement gives Uber the sole discretion to determine whether or not a material breach has occurred. So if a driver is accused of being belligerent, harassing, or somehow rude to the customer, and then I suppose in this hypothetical, if you do discovery into it, it turns out that the allegation is not accurate, that doesn't change the terms of the contract that gives Uber the sole discretion to deactivate the driver's access to the account.
My question then, is that good faith dealing? Is that good faith?
That would be good faith in the most strict terms. I know that I can't recall the case off the top of my head, but typically implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing that's imposed in a contract is where one party cannot unjustifiably hinder performance by the other party. And even in this hypothetical, there's no hindrance here because Uber is acting in response to a customer allegation and then exercising its contractual right to then deactivate access to the account.
Mr. Pham, you don't have a lot of time left, but I will let you go over because I do have a question. Let's say for the sake of argument, we think the district court erred by dismissing the breach of contract claim, at least as it relates to the refusal to arbitrate, okay? So what would we do then? We would send it back to the district court so to let that claim proceed? And would that mean the district court then says, go arbitrate? Or is that something we don't get into? We just send it back and, let the district court figure it out and, best of luck.
Judge Connolly, I think in that scenario, the court would have to first assume that Mr. Mariano alleged that Uber actually is in breach of the PAA based on refusal to arbitrate.
Let's say we make that leap.
I think in that scenario, I think as Uber sees it, the remedy would be to affirm dismissal on everything else and then remand in part with instruction to Judge Mulroney on what is Mr. Mariano's remedy in light of this breach of the arbitration clause. Would Judge Mulroney allow it to proceed into a jury trial to determine the extent of damages, or would Judge Mulroney have to decide a potential motion to compel arbitration? That's how I see the pathway. If the court were to find breach of the arbitration clause and would want to remand with some form of instruction to the district court.
Fair enough. Thank you very much, Mr. Pham.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Kirshner, you'll have the last word, sir. Kirshner, I'm sorry. I said Kirshner. I'm often called cannolis, so there you go. Mr. Kirshner.
I've been called worse.
I'd like to start by correcting a misstatement that I made to the court. I said that I had cited in my brief the case law regarding arbitration provision not divesting jurisdiction in the court. I did not, because specifically the district court didn't apply or didn't make that decision. The district court deferred on whether or not the sole jurisdiction was in the arbitrator. So I did not address it in my brief, but I did address it to the district court. And the case is Coase v. Advanced Design, Inc., 633 Northwestern Reporter 2nd, 352 at page 361. It's a Minnesota Court of Appeals case from 2001. It says, a contractual agreement to arbitrate disputes does not strip the district court of its subject matter jurisdiction to resolve the dispute. It goes on to say that
speaking for myself and not my treasurer colleagues, I agree with you. And okay. And the problem I'm having, well, first of all, this whole argument the respondent's making now is that, you know, you needed to bring a motion to arbitrate rather than bring a complaint. I don't see any of that in the respondent's brief. We are where we are. So the question is, let me ask you this, and I ask the same question to Mr. Pham. Let's say for the sake of argument, we agree with you the district court erred by dismissing the breach of contract claim as it relates to their refusal to arbitrate for whatever their reasons. What are instructions to the district court on remand? Is it to reverse that decision and that claim for breach of contract for failure to arbitrate survives? And what would you want to happen then?
Your Honor, to answer that question, I believe that the proper instructions are to reverse and remand to the district court, confirming that it has subject matter jurisdiction over the dispute and that the complaint was legally sufficient and that the motion to dismiss should have been denied. I don't believe that the correct instructions are to pick and choose which causes of action survive because, again, the pleading standard, the notice standard of pleadings, is simply focused on the incident giving rise to the claim as opposed to the separate causes of action that arise from that incident. So it would all go back. I don't think any further instructions are needed. Certainly, it would be improper.
Well, then you haven't been to any conferences with district court judges lately. Constantly reminded how our remand instructions are insufficient. So I'm just asking, because we're trying to, you know, best practices, give everybody what they want. So is it? I mean, would you want then the district court, if this survives? And if the district court then finds, as a matter of law, which I suppose could go to summary judgment, but would you want then the district court to order Uber to arbitrate?
No, Your Honor.
Okay.
That ship has passed.
Okay. This gets to your waiver argument.
So yes, that's been waived. They have no right to enforce it, and we're not asking. The plaintiff gets to elect remedies. And the plaintiff here is not asking for...
You get to elect the remedies that a contract provides.
Right, and a contract provides for damages for breach of that contract, those damages being the money that Mr. Mariano spent.
Aren't the breaches of a contract to arbitrate ordering the party to arbitrate?
I don't know of any authority that limits a plaintiff's remedies on a breach of a contract to arbitrate to that. I think that...
So would your argument be that you get incidental damages? He had to hire you to bring this lawsuit to force them to arbitrate, and therefore you get at least one measure of damages would be your attorney's fees requiring them to the attorney's fees incurred by your client to force them to arbitrate, which they have breached, for which they have breached by refusing to arbitrate for, you know, all those jams, rigmarole.
I'll admit that hearing potential yeah, award of attorney's like fees yeah, puts like a big that. Smile on my face this morning. I certainly wouldn't waive it, but I think the most basic damages are there was a $400 filing fee paid to the forum that went to waste. Now, whether or not
paid
attorney's
to,
fees...
to jams?
To jams. Okay. Yes, I mean...
The
companies that write these contracts make it seem to the consumer that arbitration is this great thing. It's quick, it's easy, it's cheap, you don't have to hire a lawyer. It's incredibly expensive to private arbitration, to pay a judge to do what is out there in the public forum. There are damages that don't require a decision, whether or not attorney's fees are allowed damages, but I certainly think that that is something that would be addressed at the district court upon remand rather than here where we're simply talking about a motion to dismiss under Rule 12.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kircher. Thank you very much, Mr. Pham. The matter is submitted. We will issue our decision tonight.